Walking in sunlight, all of my journey over the mountain, through the deep end. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light in him is the darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Oh, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, praising my ways to mansions above. Singing in praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Father, we are thankful this morning for your blessings, for your goodness and mercies to us. Thank you for your kindness, Father, that you give good gifts day by day. And we're grateful and thankful this morning for all the good things that you've given, that you've done. And we just ask you to put your hand upon us now as we enter into this service, as we go through this time. Father, we ask you to touch, to help, to keep. We pray for every need and every name that's been called out. Father, we've listed them, we've called them out, we've named them this morning. And Father, there's even unspoken requests upon our hearts this morning that you know about and that you see. And we ask you to minister, ask you to work and to touch, I pray, to change hearts and lives and to move and to minister and to heal and to give grace and give help, Father, where it's needed this morning. We ask you just to minister according to the need today, because we know that you're better able to minister than we could even begin to pray this morning. And we just ask you to touch these requests and these names. Have your hand upon them, Father, we do pray. We thank you for all that you've done now and pray that you'll just lead us and guide us. Father, as we go on in this service, Lord, just put your hand upon us. Bless the time that we have together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Job chapter number 18. We're going to read verse number 14. Job chapter 18 and verse number 14. Amen. Preach on a subject this morning that we don't like to talk about. But it tells us in the book of Job chapter number 18, verse number 14, his confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for your word and for your blessings. And I pray that you just help us this morning. Father, open up our hearts and our minds that we might be able to hear and see and receive your word. Just help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. This morning, as we read this verse and we consider these words, and we ask, what is the King of Terrors spoken of in this verse? From the construction of the chapter, I believe that this verse refers to death, the king of terrors. Verse number 5 in this chapter speaks of the light of the wicked being put out. Verse number 17 says his remembrance perisheth. Verse 18 talks about being chased out of the world. And then verse number 21, it says, surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Amen. You see, death is a subject with which we do not like to approach very much. But it is ever before us. I mean, we cannot escape it. And it seems week after week we hear of it. We know that it's taking place every day. But we hear it gets close to us. We hear of family, friends, neighbors. Amen. That this thing called death comes in. We're reminded of it constantly every day. That it is something that is in this world. We're here, the Bible said, a few days and it's full of trouble. Even Jesus, as he approached the tomb of Lazarus and he stood there before Lazarus' tomb, the Bible says in John chapter 11, amen, I believe it's verse number 35, he said, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And there's a lot this morning that are weeping because of death. Now here's the thing. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and the Bible said that Jesus wept. Now Jesus knew what was fixing to take place at that tomb. Amen. Lazarus, I mean, it was fixing to be a joyous occasion. Amen. He was fixing to call Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth and restore him unto life. But in that moment, Jesus stood and he wept. And I believe that he wept because that he knew that that would be the scene over and over again throughout the human history, that many would stand in that very place and know the separation that it brings. Amen. Because death had entered into this world. Why? Because of sin. You see, before sin, there was no death. But when sin entered, amen, death entered. And so death is something that we have to live with. It comes, amen, to our place, our house, and it leaves us grief-stricken. And amen, we weep and we sorrow because of the pains of death. You see, what do we like? We like life more than we like death. Amen. And that's natural. That's common. Why is that? Amen. Because God made us that way. Amen. God made us that way. But amen. But sin entered into the world and amen in death. And see, men, all of their lives, you know what? Men's been trying to escape. They've been trying to escape death. Trying to escape that thing called death. I done just a little bit of looking, a little bit of research, and found out that globally, every year, amen, there is spent on futuristic longevity and biotechnologically, companies are targeting these mechanisms of age extension, extending life, doing everything they can to defy the aging process and add longevity to life. And they said annually is spent about $9 billion a year. Amen. Trying to extend life for just a little bit. Amen. We like to live. Men love to live. Much of this industry is actually backed by billionaires and mankind looking and paying and buying and trying their best to hang on to everything that they have in this world for as long as they possibly can. And so, buddy, they're pouring money into this research about how can I live a little bit longer. Amen. How can I live a little bit longer? Amen. Well, I got good news. God said we can live forever. Amen. That we can live forever. But see, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Uh-oh, it's appointed unto men once to die. You see, death, when it entered, amen, it's no respecter of person. It takes from everybody, from every age, from every class, amen, from every nation. It just keeps coming and it keeps taking. But see, the Bible said that was a natural thing, that it was appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But we're told in Scripture that we will all go by the grave with a few notable exceptions. Now, in Scripture, we can look at a couple of notable exceptions. And we find in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, it tells us, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. He didn't die. Amen. He was just walking along one day, him and God, and God said, come on up. And God took him. I mean, he had one foot on earth and his next step was in heaven. He walked right out of this world into the next. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Didn't die. Amen. He was caught up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha witnessed it. He saw it. Amen. And there was a promise given to him that if he saw it, he could get a double portion. And he wanted that double portion. He stayed close by Elijah and he saw God take him up into a whirlwind. By a whirlwind. So death is a real part of life. But here's what I want us to hear and understand this morning. Dying does not make you righteous. Dying does not make you righteous. Now I had, and this is a sobering thought, but I had one funeral director tell me, he said, I asked him about, had he been busy? He said, been busy? He said, everybody likes to come to my funeral home. I said, why is that? He said, because everybody that comes to my funeral home goes to heaven. Now, he was being sarcastic because God help us as preachers seeing God. Here's the thing. Don't put the preacher on the spot, amen, and ask the preacher to preach you into heaven. That ain't the preacher's job. Amen. But he said, you know, it seemed like that when folks die, amen, all of a sudden they become righteous. But that's not what Scripture says. It's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God tells us. But many times it's what people want to hear. I did have one lady that told me one time as I preached the funeral of her father, and I did not know him. They brought him back down here for the burial, and they asked me would I perform the ceremony. And she was telling me a little bit about her daddy, and she said this. She said, I cannot tell you that my daddy was saved. She said, he was a good daddy. And she said, I loved him and he loved us. And she said, I pray that God saved him. But she said, I know that being a good daddy won't get him to heaven. Sobering thoughts. So don't leave it up to the preacher. A brother passed away, and they were well off. But they was mean as a snake, both of them. I mean, they didn't have nothing to do with church. Everybody knew it. Boy, they were the outlaws of the community. But the living brother told the preacher, he said, I tell you what, if you'll just tell folks, he said, just somewhere in the sermon that my brother was an angel, he said, I'll donate $500,000 to the church. That put the preacher in a bad spot. Because he said, we sure could use $500,000. But he said, everybody knows he wasn't no angel. But as he preached that sermon, he got to a place and it just kind of dawned on him, and he said, I just want to tell y'all folks. He said, as y'all know this man and y'all know who he was, y'all know how he lived. And he said, his brother Jake sitting over here, he said, y'all know him. And he said, Jake's still with us. He said, his brother's gone, but he said, I just want to tell you, he said, compared to Jake, he said, he is an angel. Amen. I just threw that in for free. Amen. But see, the Bible said in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This word here means virtue, integrity, a faithful discharge of all the duties which we owe to God and to our fellow man. We are to live as righteous men and women in this world. And this is what the Bible teaches that we are to do. In Titus chapter number 2, it tells us this. In Titus 2, beginning in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you are a child of God, born again, then listen. The King of Terror, death itself, has lost its bite. It has lost its bite. Why and how? Because Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, mankind's always had a dread and a fear of the King of Terror, death. All men by nature have this dread of dying, and that's been implanted there by God for wise purposes. One of those purposes is to lead men to a place to prepare for that day and for that hour, for that time, and not to wait until it is too late, but to prepare, amen, for that day. Otherwise, they might neglect it. And we know that men, that's why they spend $9 billion a year, amen. They're trying to prepare, but they're trying to prepare their way. They're trying to do it their way. We read in the Scriptures, there's places in the Bible, we talk about the rich man in Lazarus, and see, the rich man died. The Bible said, amen, in hell he lifted up his eyes and he prayed. He asked God, he said, send Lazarus to my brothers. He had his whole lifetime, he done things his way. He had fared, the Bible said, in this world he fared sumptuously. He prospered. If he wanted it, he got it. But he still died. He still died, and he met and he faced the King of Terrors, and no Satan, no death got him. And see, listen, that's what the old devil's been trying to do from the beginning, to get us to a place, and to when he there in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, he knew, boy, he thought, I got them. The death is coming, the terror, I'm going to have them forever and ever. But amen, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But you see, the Bible also tells us this about death. And some may say, well, that's a strange thing. But listen to what it says. In Psalms chapter 116 and verse 15, it says, precious. Y'all got anything that's precious? We hold the babies and the grandbabies and different things in life and our spouse and stuff and just some folks, boy, they just, we talk about them, they just precious. Amen. It says here in this verse, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How could this be? How could that be? Amen. Well, it's because of what we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14 and 15, where it tells us that death has been destroyed. Not eliminated. Men still die. We still face it. It has been destroyed. Death has been destroyed. That God has destroyed death. He has not eliminated it, but He has subdued it. And we do not have to fear the chilling winds of death. You see, death is only a terror to those who know not God. But to the saints of God, amen, it is a pathway to glory. A pathway to glory. Now, it does not mean that as we said and saw Jesus weeping, because we still weep. It's still sad. It does. We are separated. There's loved ones that we've been separated with in this world, and we've been separated now for a long time from some of them. There's some of my relatives, some of my kids. We'll talk about it sometimes. Boy, if they just showed up and just sat down and we could talk again, it would almost be like they never left. But we miss that, and we're going to miss that. But amen, but the Bible says of the child of God, it didn't say we wouldn't sorrow, but He said we don't want sorrow like others who have no hope. And I've told y'all this before, and I said it at the funeral when my grandma Godwin died. I mean, it was just a few days before she died that she set a plate for granddaddy. She had Alzheimer's. And the lady that was there taking care of her, you know, she didn't say anybody, you know, she just had, what you doing, Miss Gilman? She said, I'm setting a place for Buford. Setting a place for Buford. And they sat down to eat. And of course, you know, they ate lunch and Buford never did show up. But it wasn't but just a day or two that Grandma showed up. Here was the thing. She was just setting the wrong table. She couldn't quite get to the table that was going to be set. But amen, she stepped out of this world. Amen, and left this world and stepped into another. And amen, the king of terror, amen, didn't have any effect because God had already took away the sting of death. You see, He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. We're going to drive up a stake right there. Remember a while ago when I talked about Enoch and talked about Elijah, that they was walking in this world and they took one step on earth and the next step in heaven. And I said that we all going to go by the grave except for some notable exceptions. Amen. Enoch was an exception. Elijah was an exception. But amen, those who are alive and remain, amen, at the coming of the Lord, it's going to be called up to heaven. We're going to be the exception. There's some of us sitting in this room that may never see death. Amen. Because when God comes for His children, we're going to leave. And the Bible said we're going to be changed. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The devil thought forever he was going to be the king of terror, but for God's children, amen, Christ came and swallowed, amen, that enemy up, and death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song. Victory in Jesus. Boy, we sing it, and it is true. And it's not only true in this world, but it's true in the world to come. Victory in Jesus. That death is swallowed up in victory because of Jesus. Now make no mistake about it. It's not because of what I did and what you did. That, amen, our good deeds outweighed our bad deeds, and so everything's going to be all right and we can make it. Amen. This old corruptible, amen's going to have to put on incorruption. Amen. The only way that can happen is for the blood to be applied. Amen. When I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. Amen. That was an emblem in Egypt when the death angel come over, that he was looking for one thing. Amen. He was looking for the blood. Amen. He was looking for those that was in relationship with God by the blood. When God comes for his children, he's looking for those that are in blood-bought relationship with Christ. Those that have been born again. Those, amen, that death has no more power over. You see, boy, can you imagine? And somebody wrote a song about it that night in Egypt, talking about that death angel as it come. About that blood that was applied. And about that little boy that knew he was the firstborn in the house. And amen, he had some concerns. But his daddy told him, he said, son, he said, you can rest because the blood's been applied. You see, he knew that death no longer posed a terror. It no longer posed a terror. And listen to what Paul said about it in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. Paul said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. I've been in a few straits. Boy, I've been in, you know, we might say, boy, between a rock and a hard spot. It wasn't necessarily a rock and a hard spot here for Paul. He just said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, here's the rub for Paul, that we might say and put it that way. Paul said he was in a strait. He said, on the one hand, he said, I want to stay. And I want to be helpful to the church and to my loved ones and those that I love. He said, be a help. He said, but on the other hand, he said, I'm ready to depart. Amen. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant die. Paul, why do you want to die? Listen, Paul knew better than most, maybe better than any, what it was to leave this world. He done been caught up to the third heaven, seen things. You know, folks, God help us now, but folks, we hear about folks that, you know, they died, and boy, they writing books and making, you know, bestsellers about everything they saw. Paul said, things I saw was unspeakable. Yeah. That's what Paul said. He knew about that world, and he said, I got a desire to stay and to help and to be with those I love. He said, and he knew that was better for them. He said, but I got a desire to depart. He said, which is what? He said, which is far better. Far better. We don't understand that. Because see here, you know what I know this world. I know this world that I live in. I understand what Paul said. I believe it was Granddaddy Carroll that when he died, he told Eddie that in similar words. It wasn't the fact that he was scared to die, but he said, I hate leaving your mama. He said, take care of her. But he said, I preached about it all my life. And he said, I'm going. Amen. Paul said, I'm going. He said, I'm going. He said, I know this. He said, better than most. Paul said, I know this. He said, I want you to know this as a child of God. He said, it's far better. It's far better. While we're here, do that which is right. Be a help. But he said it's better to go and to be with God. You see, Paul and the saints of God, amen, the king of terror had already been defeated, and all that awaited Paul and all that awaits the children of God in death is glory. That's all that awaits. You see, only the unsaved have to deal with the King of Terrors, because Christ Jesus has already dealt with him for the saints of God. The verse that we read in Hebrews chapter 2, and amen, I'm going to read it again in closing. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," talking about Christ, "himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he died, he might destroy him that had the power of death," the old devil, "that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death," amen, that's us, the children of God, "were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We don't have to be subject to the bondage of death. The King of Terrors has no hold. We have victory this morning in Jesus. Will you stand with us this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Just in a moment of silence while we wait this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to just wait and give you opportunity this morning if you need prayer, whatever that may be this morning, while we wait this morning. If you have a need of prayer, if it is to overcome, amen, death itself, the Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear, and I pray God help us that we'd know that perfect love and we know that victory this morning that is in Jesus. While we wait just a minute, if you have a need, you come this morning. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for your blessings, for your goodness. And Father, we're thankful this morning for the victory that we have in Jesus, and for the child of God that death no longer poses a terror. But Father, when we leave this world, we'll step into the portals of glory. And Father, for that we're thankful and grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.